Happy weekend, everybody. I hope everyone's doing as best as they can as we continue down this crazy time in our history. As you know, on the weekends, we've been trying to give you some extra content to listen to as you quarantine or kind of do your own thing. This weekend is no different. We're going to dig into the archive and give you EPP bonus episode number 100. More than 200 EPP episodes back. Yes, this was a milestone for us when we hit it. I believe it was around 2016 when this originally aired for EPPs. And as an extra for you while we're going through this, you're going to get to hear it in its entirety. And if you like our EPP bonus episodes, that's how we support our program and keep us on the air. You get access to all, more than 300 of them now, by going to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to every single EPP bonus episode in its entirety. Advanced episodes, our ebook, our audiobook, you get all of that. But right now is a little bit extra for you. Here's EPP bonus episode 100 in its entirety from a few years back. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and we are up to EPP 100 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hard to believe we are here on 100 of EPP. It seems like not long ago we were on just regular episode 100,
yeah,
of the show and on a regular basis. And that is like, oh, it took a long time to get there, but it just, wow, that went quick.
I know. And four more means we've done EPP episodes for 2 years
straight.
Yes,
that's correct. And we've never missed an EPP episode. That's always been the priority, even if it's like a crazy week or something, which we just recently had. It was like, okay, we need two EPP episodes. We're not going to have a studio to do it. We need to do them in advance. So that's always a nice thing of the EPP episodes. You're always pretty much guaranteed it will be there.
Right.
No matter what. So, and never a rerun on an EPP either as well. So 100, thank you for being in EPP and allowing us to get this far. And now let's shoot for 200.
Okay.
Here we go. So that will be almost 2 years from now, roughly.
Yeah.
Right around there. So anyway, on this week's EPP bonus episode, a military wife finds that she has an unwanted visitor that appears only when her husband is off at training. Could there be a physical reason for a child's mysterious imaginary friend? Living alone, a young man finds that he may be sharing his apartment after all, and a long-distance friendship ends abruptly with far more questions than answers. Those stories and more today on EPP 100 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again, and you've jam-packed the show today.
It's actually going to probably be a little bit of an extended episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories, a lot to the stories in here, really.
Yes, a lot to the stories.
It's volume of the story itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I like those. So we got some really exciting ones, and I can even talk with a slight accent in one of them a little bit later on.
Yeah.
My inner northernness can come out.
That's right.
Because it's written by someone from that area. And the way that the verbiage is in the story, you kind of almost have to.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't, it would be weird. So I'll do my best.
But don't do it like annoyingly.
I'm going to, when I was working on the promo earlier, I almost started getting more southern with it than I was northern. So I'll try not to be annoying with it.
Yeah.
If I get annoying with it, ring the bunk bed bell.
Okay.
And then I'll change dictation to a different region. Oh, now he's in New England. It'll keep changing from area to area.
Sounds good.
It'll work out well. Our first letter here on EPP 100 comes in from Sunny. It says, hello, my name's Sunny from Orange, California. And here's another story of mine that I would like to share with you guys of when my family was stationed in Hawaii in 2005. My husband is a Marine, and we were stationed at the Kanohe Bay Marine Base. We ended up getting a little house off Harrison Circle. Well, let's start with the moment I set foot in the house. At that time, I was 26 years old, and I got a strong smell of Old Spice, the same scent that my dad used when I was a little girl. I asked my husband if he could smell it, and he would say no. I also started getting a strong scent of roses, and I would only get those two scents. When I come into the kitchen off the bathroom, the very first room down the hall gave me the creeps. You couldn't be in that room for more than 5 minutes before getting the feeling like you were being watched. The weird thing was that it felt like the person or thing that was watching you was standing outside the window. Never felt like it was in the room. The window was over the bed, and no matter how the blinds would be, it just felt like you had eyes on you. When my little sister came to visit us, she only lasted one night in that room because she had the same feeling of being watched from the window. The first night she was in that room, she said that she saw a lady walk down the hallway towards the living room and thought it was me, but she never came back or heard anything in the living room or kitchen. That was the first and last time she saw her. That freaked her out, and she moved the mattress into the next room, which was my son's room, and slept there the whole time she was with us. Also, a little side note, I like sleeping with all the doors open to make sure I could hear the kids at night. At one point, we had my mother-in-law and two of my sister-in-laws visiting at the same time. My little sister was with us. The first night that everyone was visiting, all the kids wanted to sleep in the living room. My sister said that the door from the dining room shot open in the middle of the night, and she could see something standing at the entrance. All she said was, "Nope," and turned around and went back to sleep. I was like, "Why didn't you say anything to us? Why didn't you wake us up?" All she said was because she was scared. I think that's all that my sister expected or experienced in that house during her visit. When my mother-in-law was staying with us, she'd be the one to get up in the middle of the night with my son. When she was there, it was the only time we slept with our doors closed. One night, my husband and I woke up to the sound of music playing, and we just thought it was my mother-in-law listening to music while our son was up. I just thought it was weird because my mother-in-law only listens to Mexican music, and what was playing was more of an alternative rock genre. So in the morning, I asked her why she was listening to that type of music, and she replied with, "I wasn't listening to anything last night. I thought it was David, my husband, playing music while getting ready for work." The creepy part about that was when I walked into my boys' room, the radio was on the floor and it wasn't plugged into the wall. I would always tell my husband that the house was haunted, but he never believed me. Even after he heard footsteps of a little kid running up and down the hallway, thinking it was our 2-year-old daughter. He got up to see if she was hungry and soon after realized that she was sleeping next to me. But even then, he didn't think anything of it and just went to the living room to watch TV. Now let me tell you about the things that happened to me. One night I was watching a ghost show where a crew went into an asylum to see if they can catch ghosts on film. My husband walked into the living room asking if I was going to bed. I told him that I'd go to bed once the show ends. Then he told me to not watch that show because it always scares me, then I won't be able to sleep at night. I just laughed because he was right, but I still wanted to watch the show. Afterwards, 20 minutes into the show, I heard footsteps behind me, and I'm thinking to myself, he's going to try and scare me. So I turn around as fast as I can, and there's no one behind me, and I'm staring down an empty hallway. All I see are the lights on to our room. So I yell out, "David," and nothing. So I turned around and went back to watching the show. Once again, I hear footsteps coming down the hallway, and once again, I turn around as fast as I can to see nothing behind me, and I start to think he must have gone into the kitchen and gone around to the dining room to jump out and scare me. So again, I say his name and nothing. By that time, I'm already getting a little scared. But I do love watching these types of shows that scare the bejesus out of me, and continued on with the show. After a few minutes into the show, I hear the footsteps again, and by this time, I'm already getting pissed that he's trying to scare me, so I jump up and try to catch him before he tries to hide in the kitchen. I run into the kitchen to try and catch him, and I don't see him in there. So I run into the dining room, and also I don't see him in there. Then I go into the room ready to tear him a new one. When I walk into the room, he's on the bed, knocked out cold, snoring. That's when I said to myself, "Fuck that." I left the TV on in the living room and went to bed. So like I said, my husband is a Marine, and there were times where he had to leave for a week or so for training. The very first time he had to leave, I was nervous. I don't like being by myself because I've seen things my whole life, and I always think the worst is going to happen. He'd always say that we are in the safest place anyone could be, a military base. Anywho, so the very first night my husband leaves for training, I'm home alone with the kids. This time I have the kids in bed with me. I woken up to the sound of the dining room door opening and shutting. I heard the sound of combat boots walking from the dining room to the kitchen and now coming down the hall. Just kept thinking to myself, this is it. I hold on tight to my kids and I hear the footsteps coming into my room. Then hear, "Honey, I'm home." And I felt someone sit on the edge of my bed. I didn't move and I definitely didn't bother to turn in that direction. The second time my husband left for training, I had forgotten about the guy coming home. Again, I wake up to the back door opening and shutting. Everything was the same as the first time he came in, but this time after saying, "Honey, I'm home," and after feeling him sit on the bed, I hear him untying his laces. Then nothing after that. And again, I just laid there holding my kids and not moving. So when my husband came to me and told me he had to leave for training, I already knew what was going to happen once I go to bed. That night I did not fall asleep and just lie in bed waiting for the soldier to come home. As I laid there waiting for him, I hear the back door open and shut, hear his boots coming down the hallway into my room. I lay in bed with my eyes shut because I did not want to see him. And again he greets me, sits on the bed, and I hear the laces come undone. And this time he lays next to me, and all I kept thinking to myself is, oh dear God, please don't touch me. I didn't move and eventually fell asleep. My husband never left for training after that night. The soldier only came home the very first night my husband would leave for training. I never heard him the rest of the week my husband was gone. After thinking about it, I took it as, hey, I'm only coming in to let you know I'm watching over you guys. Love your show, and I hope this isn't too long, but this is 4 years of living in that house. Hope you guys like it.
So, it seems like a residual haunting.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's got a level of intelligence, too, because it's picking out when it's happening.
It's being triggered by events.
Yeah.
Which is interesting for, when you think of residual, you think not a whole lot of control over why this would be happening at that time. And I don't know why that would be happening at that time. But you're right. Something seems to be triggering it. Or maybe there is some, maybe it is more than that. Maybe it's more so what she said. Maybe it's just trying to let them know that someone is there watching over them.
Right. Because I kind of started to think maybe this was a non-threatening way for an entity to say, hey, I'm here when he's not.
Yeah. I don't, it's weird to try and figure that one out, because it seems to make more sense that there's intelligence with it.
Right.
Even though it does the exact same things every single time. I don't know. Very good story, though. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Thank you for writing that in. Paulette writes into us on EPP 100. This story is about a house we lived in back in the early 2000 to 2008 era, before we actually moved into our house on Echo Drive. I was tearing out the carpet and old tile from the kitchen and repainting the rooms. My youngest daughter, Jessie, was about 4 at the time. I was in the house when I heard Jessie having a conversation with somebody in the backyard. I walked back there to see who she was speaking to. She was alone. I asked her who she was talking to. Lisa, she said, pointing at the air. I thought it was strange, but I figured since we moved, maybe she needed an imaginary friend, although she never had one before. So I left it alone, and the first strange occurrence happened to me. There was a small room that was to be my oldest daughter's room. She had picked out a type border that had unicorns and castles on it. It was sticky on one side and adheres to the wall. I unrolled the border and attached it to the wall. When it got dark, we had to leave as the electricity was not on yet. In the morning, I'd get up and go back to work on the house. When I walked into the small room, the whole border was lying on the floor. I was like, what the hell? I picked it up, put it back on the wall where it stayed all day. Not once did it peel off. I left that night. When I got back in the morning, the border was off the wall again and lying on the ground. What the fuck, I said out loud, so I decided to get some nails and nail the damn border to the wall. I returned in the morning, and not only was the border off the wall, but each side was crumpled and torn as if it had been pulled off with force. I stood there in shock and disbelief, and I said out loud, okay, I won't put up the border. Before you ask, no one had gotten into the house. All doors locked, and there were neighbors on both sides who were watching the house. Side note, later on I decided to paint a border. Jessie spoke about Lisa often. She told me Lisa never changed her clothes. She always wore the same pale pink dress and had long, dark hair. They'd play almost every day. One day I was watching her play pickup sticks on the floor with Lisa. She was quietly whispering and staring intently at her invisible friend. Jessie then said goodbye to Lisa and watched her walk out of the room. So it gives me chills to this day thinking about this. Then one evening, as everyone slept, I could hear running from one end of the house to the other. It sounded like a small child, so I thought maybe one of my kids was up. Got up, and both were sound asleep. The sound of running became a constant in the house. One night, Jessie said that Lisa was mad and she was scared and didn't want to play with her anymore. I put her to bed, and later that night, a small side lamp fell in her room and hit her on the head, pretty hard, and hard enough to cause a small abrasion on her forehead. The very next night, around 3 a.m., I was awoken by a strange sound of plastic crunching. I woke up, walked into the kitchen where I could see my daughters. quilt spread out on the kitchen floor as if someone had intentionally placed it there. I walked into her room, and she was curled up and shivering because her quilt was gone. Was this Lisa, or was it something else posing as the little girl? I was becoming very uneasy in this house. Then all was quiet for about a week. One afternoon, I came home from work and went to my room, and I heard a very loud buzzing sound coming from my bathroom in my bedroom. I opened the door, not knowing what to expect, and there were hundreds of horseflies in there. There was no explanation, no vents, just huge buzzing flies everywhere. My kids were freaking out, and I just stood there not knowing what to do next. It was one of the most frightening things that had happened in the house so far. The next day, I called a friend to look under the crawl space to see if anything was dead, like a rat or a possum. Caused the flies. Came over and proceeded to crawl into the crawl space under my room. He didn't see anything at first, and I heard him say, "Oh my God. Oh my God," repeatedly. I asked him what he saw, and he said, "There's all dirt down here except for something that's bricked up right under your bedroom. I don't know what it is. Is this a well or a grave? What the hell is this?" He was so unnerved by what he saw that he scooted out of there and told me he would never go under the house again, and he promptly left. A few weekends later, my daughters had gone to spend time with their dad. I was alone for the whole weekend inside this house. It was Saturday night, and I was getting ready for bed. The house was completely dark, except for a small nightlight emitting from the kitchen. I was feeling uneasy, so I decided to call my friend Laura to calm my nerves. I was telling her about the strange happenings in the house. Then while talking to her, there was static on the phone for about 30 seconds. I could not hear her. The room felt heavier and became black as pitch, even darker than before. I looked up. Standing in my doorway, I saw a small dark silhouette backlit by the nightlight from the kitchen. She was completely motionless. I could see the outline of her long hair cascading around her dress, and her hands were pulled up in the front as if she were holding something. I felt transfixed by this small black figure with no face, just blackness where a face should be. I could not utter a sound. My mouth tried to speak out, but only a small gasp escaped my lips. My body felt as if it were completely frozen, but I could hear Laura asking me, "Paulette, what is it? What's wrong, Paulette?" I somehow found my voice and whispered to Laura, "I see Lisa. She's here." I finally became mobile and quickly reached out to turn on the bedside lamp. The room became illuminated, and with that, she, or it, was gone. I sat upright and gasped for air and started to cry. This, Tony and Jenny, was my introduction to Lisa. I have many more occurrences in this home, but I thought you may find this one interesting. Thank you for sharing my experience. Paulette.
I think there's going to be more Lisa stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure Lisa is really Lisa.
I don't know. It seems that there's something kind of nefarious about it.
Yeah.
Her or it or whatever you want to call it. I do want to know what's underneath the house.
Yeah.
With the brick.
Well, I think if it were really like a bricked up well or something,
mm-hmm.
he being the friend would not have freaked out and gotten out of there so quick. There was some kind of bad feeling he got along with it.
Yeah. You'd almost... how could you, I mean, without breaking it open, I mean, is there really any way of knowing? Could you get a contractor in there and go, "Have you seen this before?" Then they might just say, "Oh yeah, this old houses, they do this for whatever reason," you know.
Sure.
You may get like a very easy, sensible answer to that, which would be probably helpful and a little calming on the nerves. You can't really control the rest of the stuff that goes on, but I'm sure that that does play a role in just the uneasiness there.
Well, and you've got to know the history of the house. Could there have been a different house there at one point, and that's part of it?
Could have been part of the house.
Something happened, or how old is the house? Because depending on how old it is, they used to bury dead loved ones in the property.
Sure. In the property or just on the property?
On the property, sometimes in the property.
Like in the basement?
Sometimes, yeah.
It was like we were talking about that lovely inn the other day.
Yeah.
The... what the heck was it called? What's the inn on Newhart called?
I don't remember.
I forgot. And there was the body in the basement. But yeah, you're right. That does occur. We were speaking the other day. We were talking about weird feelings in places. And you were telling me you have a weird feeling about the shed and my parents.
Don't tell your parents that.
Oh, it's fine.
Okay, the shed's kind of creepy. I don't know why.
Well, the shed, the interesting thing about this shed And we always just called it the little garage because there's a garage that's attached to the house, and there's a shed that's off of the patio, and it's just a square shed. And you store, like, my dad stores the lawnmower in there and a bunch of other crap. My mom stores a bunch of, like, old doors that she likes to paint in there.
And it could be that, too.
There's a lot of, yeah, there is a lot of that in there. There's a lot of parts to old houses, mm-hmm. old windows in there, because she likes to do, you know, crafting type projects with some of that stuff. But this house itself, the house was the structure that we lived in, or I lived in growing up, was, I think, built in the late 70s, early 80s. But it was over the place of a house that had burned down because a car had gone off the road and run into it and set the place on fire. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm unaware if anyone died. I don't believe so, but yeah. I've never really formally asked either. And I know that my parents have either, and I've never really looked this up. But anyway, that shed, that piece of that square shed is all that remains of the old house. Mm-hmm. And you can tell where there were windows at one point. Just, you can see the framing, and it's all, you know, no windows are there anymore. But you can tell it was some part of some other structure at some point in time. And a fairly old one. Mm-hmm. At that, there's a ton of old shiplap in there, honey. Yeah. Did you realize that? I'm just realizing this now as we're talking about it, because you love shiplap, mm-hmm. but that's literally all shiplap walls.
I just thought that was the strangest shed I'd ever seen, but then you told me the story, and I thought, okay, that's why it feels kind of creepy. But
yeah,
the house is fine. Yeah, don't have anything weird about the house or the yard. It's just that little shed.
Just the shed, the haunted shed.
Now I'm going to be giving shit about that all Christmas.
Why?
Because I've said on the show that their shed creeps me out.
I don't know that she listens to EPP episodes. She may. She may not. Might be like one step too far. I don't know. But it's interesting. I wonder, you know, what her thoughts are on that, honestly. I mean, I don't think she'd give a shit about it.
The cat doesn't seem to mind. He goes out there quite a bit. Scruff. Or she.
The cat usually stays outside the shed, though.
Yeah, but he's not, like, trying to get away from the shed either.
No, but notice, like, even when it can get into shade, never goes in there. None of our cats have ever gone in that shed.
Hmm.
Like, they'll hang out by it.
Sure.
But, and we often have the door open, too. That's an interesting observation, because she'll put the cat out on the leash in that area of the yard, and the shed door is usually open in summer, and it's a nice, shady spot. And the cats always seem to just avoid going in it at all.
Yeah, but they don't, like, strangle themselves to get away either.
No, that's true. Interesting. Maybe I'm reading too much into the shed.
Could be.
I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Richard writes in, "This is my first time writing to you, and I must say I love your podcast. Listen to it on Stitcher. I live in Texas, and I live alone. Mostly go to work and listen to horror podcasts because my favorite genre is horror. My story is a bit scary and weird at the same time. I live in Port Arthur, Texas, home of my favorite singer, Janis Joplin. I mostly go to work and come home, so you can basically call me antisocial. Some people tell me living alone will give you hallucinations or something like that, but I love that. I live in a small apartment that is a balcony. However, every night now, strange things have been going on in my apartment. Such as things in my kitchen or the living room sounding like they're being dropped. That's just a half of it. I also hear a woman's voice saying something. It's kind of hard to hear her voice because it sounds like it's muffled. One night scared me half to death. I was just lying down in my bed playing my PlayStation 4. Yes, I'm a gamer. And suddenly I heard something going on in my kitchen, like dishes being put away. Slowly got up from my bed to see what happened, but as soon as I turned the corner to my kitchen, there was nothing there. Went back to bed and forgot about everything that happened. Turned off my game and I was trying to fall asleep. Finally went to sleep but was awoken by the temperature in my apartment. It was ice cold. I did not have my air conditioning on. I looked at the time and it was 4:50 in the morning. Just ignored it and tried to get back to sleep because I knew I didn't have to work that day. I just needed sleep. As soon as I closed my eyes, I heard someone humming a song in my living room. I recognized the melody and I was frozen with fear. On a side note, I play guitar and keyboards just for fun, and I was working on a catchy tune. She was humming the tune. I watch too many horror movies, so I know that you should not ask a dumb question, but I am an idiot, so I asked a dumb question. Who is there? I asked. Suddenly, the humming stopped. It went completely silent. I'm completely scared. I normally do not get scared of anything, but in that moment, I was terrified. In the dark, I looked over and I know my BB gun was right next to my bed. I was going to reach for it. Then, my smart brain was thinking, how can you shoot a ghost? So I tried to hold a conversation with the woman or the being. I reached very slowly to my table right next to my bed to grab my tape recorder. I started asking personal questions, such as, how did you die? What's your name? And are you going to harm me? Why are you here? And how do you know my song? Now, I know I'm not a ghost hunter, but that is what I picked up. When I stopped the tape recorder and I played it back, I was hoping to hear something, but nothing but silence. However, what I heard on the tape recorder not only took my heart, it took my soul. The spirit answered every single question. How did you die? Rope. What's your name? Sylvia. Are you going to harm me? Never. Why are you here? Live here. How do you know my song? I listen. I'm not a drinker at all, but the next day I had to drink something strong. I did some research of my apartment, and I was looking for some articles about my apartment as well. What I found, I could not believe. A 32-year-old by the name of Sylvia McLeod hung herself from her apartment balcony when she found her husband in the arms of another woman in the Sabine Hotel in downtown Port Arthur. Same day she was going to perform in the mess hall of the Sabine Hotel. However, fellow tenants reported before the suicide, Mrs. McLeod was arguing with someone in her apartment. In the autopsy, it read that a blunt blow to the head with issues to the back of her skull. Evidence indicates it was foul play. I looked at the pictures of Sylvia, and she looked very lovely. She looked like a mixture of Marilyn Monroe and Selma Hayek. Every time I would come home from work or just sit around playing my instruments, I always hear humming coming from either my kitchen or the living room. But one day caught me off guard. And the feeling when you work 9 hours at a stressful job and all you want to feel is the comfort of your bed or a couch? It's exactly how I was feeling that day. I just completely slapped myself on the couch and tried to relax. That's when I felt a hand pressing against my chest. At first, I was having a hard time breathing, and that's when I yelled out, "Please stop." It subsides, and I was back to normal. Hurried up, grabbed my tape recorder. "Is everything okay?" I asked. "Why did you hurt me?" Played it back, and all I got from that was, "I'm sorry." Or I think it said, "I'm sorry." That night, I sat in my chair in the bedroom and tried to learn how to play the Eagles Hotel California on keyboard. And I must say, I'm not too bad. As soon as I got to the chorus, I heard humming coming from behind me. Wanted to turn around so bad, but I did not want to interrupt her. So I kept playing the chorus. That's when things got weird. It was completely warm in my apartment, but I felt a cool breeze on both my shoulders that chilled my spine. I noticed that I was playing the song very slowly. At my right ear, I heard a voice say, "I love it." I completely got up and ran to my car to go see my mom and dad. The time was 11:30 p.m. As soon as I made it to my mom and dad's house, I just completely ran in where my dad opened the door. He looked at my face and he knew something was up. Now, my dad is the type of dad that would actually joke about something that is actually serious. He looked at me and said, "Well, you look like you saw a ghost." I just looked back at him with tears going down my eyes, down my head. I nodded. My dad and I talked a good long time about what I was witnessing at my apartment all this time. Of course, my mom came in, overheard what we were talking about, and just said, "I needed a good night's sleep." I'm still living at the apartment, and things are good. Still hear the humming, and things are still making noises a little bit, but not that much. And whenever I come home from work, I would always say, "Sylvia, I'm home." And I'd always get an answer back in the form of a noise. Love to hear your opinion on this matter. You both have a good one. Richard.
So, I think that there's a little bit more to Sylvia. And the reason I say that, and I know I said that on the last story, is what was up with pushing on your chest and making you uncomfortable and hard to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, "Oh, I'm a friendly ghost. I just want to cohabitate and I'm just going to hang out here and enjoy your music." That's not exactly fitting in with that personality.
Could it be a ghost not knowing the power that it has? Like, I'm sticking up for the ghost.
Okay, stick up for the ghost.
I'm wondering if maybe Sylvia was just trying to give him a hug or something,
mm-hmm.
and was thinking, "He's never going to feel me, but I'm just going to go here and do this because it'll make me feel good."
Mm-hmm.
And didn't realize the power that she had or how that would make the person feel. And then, because she said she was sorry and didn't seem to ever do that again.
True.
So it wasn't like an ongoing, I'm going to try and kill you in your sleep, mm-hmm. ghost. It was maybe a misjudging of the power that she has, especially if she's unaware of it, you mm-hmm. know, which I could see that. The thing is, the rest of the story, there's not a whole lot of other negative things going on.
That's true.
And she likes the Eagles.
She seems to really like him, you
yeah.
know? It's kind of, I don't know how far she's going to go as far as, is she going to eventually manifest, or is that something that he wants to continue to invite in? And by saying hi to Sylvia every time he gets home, that kind of encourages whatever she's may or may not want to do.
Here's what you need to do. You need to get a pottery wheel, and you need to start making pottery in your apartment.
Right. And yeah, the scene from Ghost. Yes. That's great.
You get a bonus snort on EPP 100.
Yeah. He snorts a lot, just so you guys know.
You do the pottery wheel, and then you is it Unchained Melody? Was that the
I
one?
I think so.
And then you play some Righteous Brothers and see what happens. She's Like the Wind. That was a different movie.
That was a different movie. But it was still same, Patrick Swayze.
Still Patrick Swayze. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
That's the answer. That's what you got to do.
Sorry, Richard.
We gave you the serious answer. Then you got the other one. You got bonus answer today on mm-hmm. that one. Thank you, Richard. Joey writes in, greetings, Tony and Jenny. First, I'd like to extend my great appreciation for your podcast and have thoroughly enjoyed every episode, including all of the EPP episodes thus far. Thank you for the RGSO universe. Onto my story. I was born and grew up as well as currently reside in California. I have so many supernatural or paranormal experiences in the tenure of my life that these words are almost pretentious to me. And the notion of anyone being a skeptic is as silly as someone not believing that $1 million exists because they have never seen a pile of money that equates to it. Most of these experiences I have kept close to me or secret as to not be singled out or labeled as paranormal myself. The experiences that I've shared with people I disguise as a ghost story that most listeners love and beg me to tell again. Much like you, since I was a child, I've been completely fascinated with radio, broadcasting, and basically any form of long-range communication with others who might be listening. My first memory of this interest is when I was very young, and my dad gave me this old CB radio he had bought at a yard sale. I was completely enamored and devoted all of my attention to this device. I refocused my devotion from playing Contra or having dirt clod wars to enveloping myself and communicating to others. I met and chatted with countless CB and ham radio dorks. The number is unfathomable. Amongst all these people that were all fascinating, only one stands out in my memory. He was my age, and I met him via CB a little while into delving into this endeavor. We liked all the same things, Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, He-Man, The Lost Boys. I could go on, but it would be far too extensive. Above all, we both loved ghost stories and creepy-ass shit. He truly came to be the brother I never had, as my other three brothers were a bit younger and I was relegated to raising them by myself because both of my parents worked full-time jobs to be productive. We were poor, but rich in love and very simple things in life. My fulfillment came from meeting with my best friend who I had never formally met in person. I still remember preparing dinner for my brothers, hurrying them to brush their teeth, bathe, and get to bed promptly so that I could bask in my radio wave indulgence. I couldn't wait to talk to my first and only best friend, who was the only kid who could spin a yarn of ghost stories better than me. Through the first early sessions, I asked him his name, and he said, "You can call me T-1000, or T for short." And that was from Rogerston, and he was from Rogerston, Wisconsin. His dad, Jim, was a local late-night shift radio station DJ in the area. I was completely flattered every time he would say, "Hey, you need to join us on WAWZ, and my dad will put you on the air." T was truly my dearest friend. Throughout time, we would chat damn near every day, and we'd conduct special broadcasts for birthdays, holidays like Christmas, Thanksgiving, and especially Halloween. Through time, I've maintained many relationships and jobs here and there, but nothing compared to my connection with T and my love for radio. It was 2 days before Halloween on a beautiful autumn day, and I was enthralled at the weekend barbecue atmosphere we enjoyed with the real oldies playing in the background. The song Stand By Me started playing when I felt compelled to sit down and contact T to tease him about how great my Halloween ghost stories were going to be. To my surprise, I had negative response all day. This is extremely out of the ordinary, to say the least. I didn't overreact because there had to have been times when he was not on the air. Although to this day, I really can't recall a day when he wasn't. Halloween came and went and nothing. No response, just dead air to me. I was a bit distraught and very concerned about the only true friend I had. I left my radio on all hours of day and night and spent every penny of my paycheck to boosting my signal with bigger and better antenna equipment and so on. I tried tirelessly to connect T to no avail and even faked sick on days just to try all day to get some kind of contact. I was an empty shell of a person and became even more introverted and self-reliant than before, with my only other concern taken care of and raising my younger brothers. It had been about 3 months and 7 days since last contact, and one night, after putting my brothers to bed, I sat myself in my chair, began broadcasting with my sense of hope hanging by a thread, which was made up of every fiber of my soul. After an hour or so, I remember lowering my head in despair while a single tear fell from my eye, and I transmitted, T, I miss you so much, brother. Then, a voice. Then static. A garbled voice, as if it was such a weak transmission with static always in the background. I thought to myself, this is impossible. My equipment is incredible, yet I shot forward and shouted, T? T, is that you? Come in, please. Please. I miss you, please. I heard his static-covered voice. Tony, my name is Tony. I screamed with tears in my eyes. I miss you, Tony. Where are you? What happened to you? Join us on WAWZ. We need you, he said. I replied, I will. Tell me how to find you, Tony. I'll go. There's a long pause, muffled by the static. Then I heard the words, not yet. This is T. Signing off. I felt a tremor within me that was soul-destroying. It's like when you wake up after sleeping, when suffering the loss of a loved one, losing your first love, and the anguish that follows when you awake to the torment of being ripped back into the reality of that loss. It's like every sad emotion floods back into your mind and your inner soul struggles to sustain itself. A few minutes passed, and as I sat there staring at my desk, listening to the faint static, when another voice came through. Hello, say again, he said. I recognized the voice right away. It was Jim, T's dad. I shot up from my seat and shouted into the mic, Jim, Jim, come in. What happened to T? Where is he? Is he okay? He replied, Well, who is this? What do you want? I said, Jim, please, I'm trying to get a hold of T. Where is he? Is he okay? Is this a joke? Who is this? Jim asked in confusion. Is your name Jim or not? I shouted in frustration. Yeah. Okay, where's your son T? Is he all right? I asked. My son's name is Tony. Only one of his friends called him T. It got underneath my son's skin, but you must be confused with some other person. My son died about 25 years ago. Sorry, young fella. That's not... I couldn't even muster the mental capacity to complete my sentences as my head swirled in clouds of sadness, confusion, and false hope. I tried to think of something to say or ask to make it all not truer, disprove this heart-wrenching information. I shakily muttered, How'd he die, sir, if you don't mind? Oh, it's quite tragic, but all the facts come from his buddy who survived that day. Well, Tony and his buddy would always go down there and play with them woods, you know, just kids playing like we all did. Well, a story his buddy tells it, that he was playing army like they loved to do, and in between their pretend battle they joined up, and both their attention went to a tattered old radio flyer wig and flipped upside down. They turned it over, excited about what they could do with it, and then they felt like it was Christmas morning because they found a couple of walkie-talkies underneath the damn thing. They turned them on, and to their surprise, both walkie-talkies worked fine. The two kids spent a whole damn day playing with their newfound treasures, all day playing out new war scenarios with the wagon and constantly on the walkies to contact and infiltrate their pretend missions. And they was walking a break round evening, sometime they heard a faint sobbing coming from a nearby creek that was barely audible over the creek and general noises from the woods. They went to go see what it was. They came across a little girl about their age in a tattered blue dress with quite a big scrape on her leg that was bleeding pretty good, and she was crying gently. A boy asked her, Hey, how'd you get hurt? You lost or something? The girl said, Yes. Can't find my way home. A boy asked, Where is it? She says, It's a few blocks out of town. Well, it's not far. I know exactly how to get there. Just follow us, my boy said. Somebody then interrupted. Dude, your mamas are gonna have our ass if we don't get home soon. Let's just go home and she can get a ride into town from your dad. And boy, I guess, just wanted to be the hero of the day and said, nah, she can just hop on the wagon and we can pull her to the house and still be back home before too long. Hell no, I ain't catching a beating on her account, his buddy shouted. Tony replied, well, fine, you big baby, go on home. I'll take her myself. Just keep your walkie-talkie on you. We can still communicate. The little girl flashed a slight grin and seemed pleased to my son obliging. Well, he agreed hesitantly. The little girl upped herself into the wagon, and both them boys went off into the separate directions with their walkie-talkies turned on. For the next 45 minutes or so, as they were chatting back and forth to make sure everything's all right, and about this time my son's walkie started cutting out and getting, you know, like staticky and whatnot, and well, he said that what he heard was my boy saying something like, just about there now, and static for about another 10 minutes or so. Last thing he heard was my boy screaming. The static for a minute. Last thing I heard was my boy screaming and static for a minute. The last thing he heard over that walkie was what sounded like a giggle from a little girl. Like I said, this whole account of these events is coming from his buddy's mouth, so that's all I have to go on. My boy is missing. Jim's voice started to crack, and I could tell he's very painful for both him and for me. My jaw remained dropped in a silent scream as I listened to him. All the while, my head was swirling in the cloudiness of disbelief and horror as I was thinking, this simply cannot be what I'm hearing. This can't be real. Jim continued. Now I'll continue in a northern accent.
Okay, good job.
I'm an equal opportunity accenter.
Okay, you do that.
Well, of course, we got the police involved, and they did their searching and investigating and whatnot. Those damn fools was asking me all sorts of dumb shit questions about my boy and his home life, like I had the suspect or something. But in the end, my boy was never found, and the only thing that was even close to a clue was happening to him was something we saw during the search for my boy. How am I doing, or is it too Youper-ish?
It's kind of Fargo-ish.
And Fargo-ish.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it...
Okay.
Now, up to this point, I didn't believe this whole crazy-ass story about the... Oh, this is the other guy. Now, at this point, I didn't believe the whole crazy-ass story about the walkie-talkies and supposed disappearing act bullshit that was his buddy's account of the events. But after what we found, I reckon I do believe now. So, like I said, we went over in yonder, and last place the two boys were together, out in them woods there, it was plain, and we searched for anything to help find my missing boy. After some time going around in circles, well, got fed up and asked his buddy what direction we went off in to take that little girl home. He slowly looked around and pointed in direction, and I took his arm and I said, come on, y'all, let's find that goddamn son. We walked and searched for some time as dusk set in, and truth be told, I was giving up hope on finding my boy. When all of a sudden, his buddy stopped dead in his tracks, and I watched the color drain from his face. He was just staring at something. So I asked him, what's wrong? He pointed slow and stiff-like and could see his lips trembling a bit. I looked over to where he was pointing and saw something that I couldn't quite make out. So we slowly walked over so I could get a better look at what the hell he was looking at, and came up on it, and I realized it was his wagon. I even did wagon in northern accent.
You sure did.
You like that?
I noticed that.
And that was not even, like, trying. That's just how I talk. Same goddamn wagon from the story that his buddy then told us about. The wagon was beat to shit and flipped upside down. I told his buddy to wait here, and I walked up to it and lifted it up and flipped it over. As I flipped it, I jumped back to my blood froze. Buddy let out a squeal and cupped his hands over his mouth, silent. We were still staring at a filthy, torn-up blue dress that little girl was wearing. Right next to it, halfway buried in the soil, was my boy's walkie-talkie. Picked it up and got nothing. Batteries were dead. It was dead as hope, and I left my heart. We're finding my boy. I gulped and responded, sorry for your loss, sir. I don't really know how to explain this, but I had a very dear friend through the CB radio, and over time he's become my best friend, my only friend. I know this sounds crazy, but I swear on everything I love, I believe I've been communicating with your son. My voice started to crack, his tears started to stream out uncontrollably, but I continued. I can't handle the fact that he might not be real. He cannot be a ghost. I mean, we've talked every day, and he's like a brother to me. Jim responded, well, dry your eyes now, son, and I'm also sorry for your loss, but I don't rightfully believe you've been communicating with my son. It's just one hell of a coincidence, you know. It's all that big hat, no cattle. With his name and such, and how in the hell you know my name? When I hear this, hear CB going off, I surely don't know, but maybe your buddy is still around somewheres. He might be on vacation or something. Did he mention anything about leaving town when last y'all spoke? I gulped and weakly replied, "No, the last thing he ever heard from him was join us on WAWZ. After I screamed that I would join him, he replied, "Not yet. T signing off." It was the last thing I ever heard from him. Jim said nothing for a moment. Then he muttered, "What the hell? I'll be goddamn, son. My boy was youngin', but we always taught him the values of hard work and man, and I done got him a little job cleaning and doing janitor type stuff at my good friend's workplace. It was a radio station called WAWZ. I just don't listen, son. My head's just spinning and it's tough to talk about my boy. I'm sorry, but I suppose I better let you go for now." "Wait," I shouted. "Before you go, sir, I got a question, if it's all right with you." "Go ahead, son," he said. "Well, I'm broadcasting on this CB today, sir, because I was hoping in a desperate attempt to hear from my best friend T. Sir, how did I get in contact with you?" There was a brief pause, and then Jim sighed and replied, "That's exactly the thing that's fixing to eat at my brain. You see, when my boy was missing, it did tore a hole in me and my wife's heart, so I reckon we decided to leave my son's room and all his belongings exactly the way that it was when they disappeared. Well, tonight I was watching a little TV, relaxing and such, and I hear a ruckus come from my boy's room. Went to his room and I get a better listen, and I heard you screaming through this here CB radio, but the gall-darnedest thing that's confounded me is that this here CB has been turned off the time my boy passed away, and I tell you now, may God strike me dead, this damn radio is still turned off as we speak." Static interference started to garble Jim's transmission, and something told me my time was now extremely limited. Yet this was too much for my mind to handle, and the icy cold feeling of pins and needles has been constant throughout this whole conversation to the point where I was freezing cold and my teeth chattering. So I tried to maintain my composure and asked, "Whatever happened to your son's buddy, sir?" "Well, like I said, there wasn't anybody believed his story, so he went..." More static. "Some therapy and so-called professionals and such," static interfered. It was getting worse during Jim's speaking now. It was so very hard to make it any coherence. I struggled to listen fervently as he continued. "Last thing I heard was..." "Son, he was..." static. "Ended..." static. "Mental facility..." static. "Claiming insanity..." static. "Dunn committed suicide," and that was it. End transmission. Nothing but static remained, and I've never heard from Jim again, nor have I ever successfully contacted anybody on that frequency. And believe me, I did try obsessively. My life over the last decade has been a novel of me trying to make any sense out of this story, of this lifelong tragedy, and I've read hundreds of paranormal books, articles, journals, archives, basically any resource that delves into the unknown or spiritual consciousness in order to not only find out who my best friend was, but also what happened to him. Or was even real. I've had my heart broken over the loss of my best friend, and especially in such a manner as these experiences, with absolutely no real closure or understanding. It would compare it to meeting the love of your life and living blissfully together until one day they are taken from you with no explanation or insight, and you're just expected to carry on with life without them normally. I've not been only accused of being extremely too obsessed with the supernatural, paranormal, and even simple ghost stories, but I've also lost many jobs and employment over it. I'm currently jobless once again, but in my mind, I know that God and my faith and perseverance will eventually guide me to the truth and back to my soulmate. Rest in peace, Tony. I miss you and think about you every day, my dear friend. Tony and Jen, there are recent events that have occurred in these past months that finally have given some kind of light to what has happened after all these years. I'm currently in the midst of these new events and will keep you updated as things unfold, if you so wish. Once again, God bless you for allowing me to tell my story. Perhaps this is why, only now, I finally am getting another piece of the puzzle, so to speak, for these bizarre and tragic events. Love you both.
There's so many layers of paranormal to this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the component of, okay, So you're talking to a kid who you find out died 25 years ago. And then what happened to that kid with the creepy little girl in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's so many questions.
I'm putting that in the top three.
Yeah.
That is, I think, one of the top three stories I think we've ever gotten. I don't know where it falls. I love Zombie Ghost Clown, but that right there, right up there.
And I had emailed Joey and told him, I'm sitting on this story for mm-hmm. probably 6 months.
Sure.
And he was patient enough to allow us to do that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing story, and I would love to hear more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what the events were that happened after that, because obviously I'm very enthralled with that now. It doesn't take a whole lot of analyzing because it's just a very straightforward story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's what happened. He was communicating somehow, very likely, with this boy. I highly doubt it was someone playing a joke on him.
Yeah.
But my goodness. It'd be interesting if he was ever able, and maybe this is part of the follow-up to make sense or something. Maybe he was able to talk with the father again or something, or look up the radio station and then dig around and say, hey, kid was a janitor and it was a friend and I'm trying to find Jim. You know, Jim, if you dug, you could probably figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Even more weird if you found out Jim didn't exist or passed away too or something.
And see, that's what I was kind of wondering was, okay, the toys mentioned in this, walkie-talkies, that's a fairly old toy.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Flyer Wagon's a fairly old toy. This could have happened even further back than just 25 years because mm-hmm. this Jim person may be, this may be a transmission from a different time as well.
Yeah, like almost communicating.
Yeah.
On a different time scale. It is one hell of a compelling story. So yes, please do update us and let us know what happened and what transpired after that. That was an awesome story. Thank you for sharing it. And I'm sorry if my accent on the South was incorrect or the North, whatever. I was trying to...
You just differentiated the character, so that
sure.
worked.
I got pretty good at the Northern, don't you think?
You've also gotten better at the Southern,
have
too.
I?
Yeah.
And it's not totally cartoonish?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Great story. Thank you for sharing that. Love that one. Thank you very much. There you go. That was a great one for EPP 100. It's been a great EPP 100 episode. Bravo, Jenny Bruschi, for putting
you.
This together. I know she's been stressing about it and working on compiling this stuff, and you did good.
Thanks, honey.
So there you go. EPP 100 is in the books. Thank you all for being EPP there and allowing us to do this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Without you, it could not be possible. So please continue your support. Let your friends know about our show. EPP 100, a great episode to introduce your friends to the show on, obviously, because some really awesome stories in there. So thank you so much. Until next time, for Jenny Bruschi, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for being an EPP of Real Ghost Stories Online.